whoever asks, please use the microphone because we are recording this. So even if you think you have a loud, big mouth, we need you to use the microphone. Yes. Hold it close. It's old.
I just have a question about security of the building. It's something you had mentioned but then didn't discuss when you were talking about the plans. And then also with that, I know we were talking about doing a shelter rotating between the churches, and I know that was in the original plans, and I don't see that on these current plans. So I was just wondering if you could touch base on those two topics.
Great.
So security, right now, from the standpoint of security, the greatest increase in security is having entries that are capable of being seen by the office. That doesn't mean that we can't include security system. It's pretty standard right now in churches to have some kind of a lockable buzzer type system where the office can buzz people in. If somebody calls and the office then can see who's actually at the door and then let them in if the church is locked. The second question was about
the Family Promise room.
Oh, sure. So one of the provisions that we've done is by including larger toilet rooms and that utility room in the heart of the building. And then I've worked with, I think, 5 or 6 churches now that have Family Promise programming. We do have some storage space for Family Promise in the design. If I understand correctly, many of the things that are used with that program are brought into the building by Family Promise. But some things do have to stay here. So we do have storage specifically for Family Promise. And then, of course, they typically use classrooms or large areas that are able to be broken down into smaller spaces. And the flexibility of some of the educational areas will allow for Family Promise to function in those areas.
Okay. Question right down here.
I have a question that about the sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Back when we were discussing all of this building, one of the subjects that came up was that we need more space for worship. That came up. There was even a rather humorous discussion about how the number of seats are counted right. Because of the size
bigger
of bottoms.
Bigger bots now, yeah, right, exactly. But
anyway, now we're saying there's absolutely none of that in this plan. Are we just kicking the can down the road a short distance?
Sure, I can answer that. So the original plan that was presented had always had worship as phase two. That plan had worship, fellowship, and the kitchen as a phase two of the design. If we get too crowded, which is a wonderful thing, the easiest or temporary fix, maybe it's not easiest if you're one of the two pastors or the organist, but the easiest fix is you can add a third service every Sunday. So, you know, that's harder to do with 2 Sunday schools a day, but we could do that. So, yeah, and everything on this design has been done that, yeah, we could do this. But it was never and I don't have it in front of me, but when we did present that, we talked about the potential growth that we had, that we were good for probably another 10 years of the growth. Now, if we truly grew 10%, from this, yeah, then we're going to have to look at probably 3 services on a Sunday and what that might mean, you know, and that's something certainly the worship committee has been talking about, council has talked about, and the pastors have talked about as a knowledge of something that maybe happened. Answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, and I grabbed it.
And he sort of touched on where I was going. Are we thinking ahead with these designs to where if we did have to expand, I assume we'd maybe try to utilize what we have here. I don't know how much we can go that way as far as easements or as far as the trees. It looks like we could expand the existing fellowship to the north of the kitchen if we had to. I saw a picture up there for that possible expansion. Does that mean we could expand the worship maybe into the existing fellowship way?
Whatever, I think the decision at the master plan was this building as it's the worship center as it stays would have to go. There's just no way of adding space to this. It's an unusual design, but I like it, but it's not additional. So yeah, we'd go that way, correct?
Right. The original master plan left the right amount of room for both the fellowship expansion and the worship expansion. The way that we've done the kitchen now in the short term will push the fellowship hall a little bit farther out. The other thing that I've done in our planning is assumed that the fellowship hall space would be larger than that original master plan, primarily because the original master plan added 100 square feet to the size of the existing fellowship hall and completely rebuilt it. My thinking is, if you're going to build it, build it bigger, build it better, make it more useful at that time. Now, if you have to squeeze it back down, we could.
Yeah. And you know, one of the thoughts when the vision planning team at least put the master plan together is we were very cognizant that we are a family-friendly, neighborhood-based church. We're never going to be a mega church. You know, this is never going to be Grafton Brook and have, you know, stadium seating. That's just not who we are as a congregation. And so, yes, we would probably go bigger, but there would definitely be limits that it would still be a relatively nice size space. Question, I saw one over here.
Yeah, thanks. Can you speak a little bit to timelines, when the general contractor will be bid out, when the project will break ground, when it'll be done?
Yes. Paul or Adam, you're going to...
Sure. So I can start that conversation. I'll let Adam say a little bit more about that as well. The hope is, if we get approval to go ahead at this time, that we can be in the ground in late summer, and 7 months, 8 months, something like that for construction. Some of that will depend on how it's sequenced in the planning. Most churches just can't shut down completely to allow all of the renovation. So we still have to go through. I mean, one of the first steps is knowing actually what you approve. And then the second step is really strategizing when we are able to get in the ground, what sorts of things we can do with the least amount of impact, the functioning of the congregation for fall and winter of 2015 and 16. So it's a little bit right now of first knowing the scope and the scale, but for the most part, we're planning on August start and completion within 7 or 8 months of that.
That is part of one of the questions, and it's probably a good time for me to address that because I have been asked that question, was the timing of these meetings. You know, it's pretty quick, and we're going this pretty fast, and, you know, we don't have all the finance information exactly pulled together and some of that. Some of it's based because we live in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, and we have this thing that we all remember called winter. Well, we've been told that we have to be in the ground by August, or pretty much we might as well say forget it until next March, or when the ground is thawed. So, you know, we need August, September, October, maybe November to get the, you know, foundations and all that site work done, the foundations, and get the building enclosed before we can move forward. So that's some of it with the timing. It's the reality of it, but I think it's important. Karen?
I just had a couple questions real quick on the security. Is that a glass wall then between the office and the reception so they can easily see? And then also, is there some guarantee or there's no guarantee, but the deferred account, is that for sure going to be held in deferment and we're not going to become complacent later and say, well, the furnace is working good, let's put the money somewhere else?
Okay, so the first question... you may recall in the earlier photo, this is the line of existing and new.
Right.
We do have openings in the office that allow for visibility to the north. The challenge is that's a firewall. So doing those openings is a little more difficult, and there's only so much opening that we're allowed. It's one of the benefits if we sprinkle the entire building. Now that firewall goes away, and this wall, in fact, these doors into this corridor go away, this wall becomes all glass. So it's much better visibility in that case. That's not to say that we'll go one way or the other. That decision will have to be made. Your second question? Oh, yeah. So in that 2.6, that includes all of the deferred things that we listed as deferred maintenance items.
But were you concerned that we're going to say, well, we're going to build this instead, so we're not going to do the deferred? Not if I have anything to say about
no.
it. I mean, I can tell you that some of the air conditioners, the HVAC units we have were from 1986. When I built my last building and they were 89, I ripped them out and put them in there. They're not predictable. Mm-hmm. I stand underneath this crack every Sunday and things fall on my hair. I'm really afraid that some Sunday I may come not make it out of service because the roof crashes in. So yeah, I think that was very specific, you know, that the whole flat roof needed to be done and this section where
the game plan is all of those things that are listed there with the exception of the condensers for worship will all be replaced and upgraded as a part of the building program now.
I'm a giant, it hits him, it hits me. Yeah. And I'm taller than you, so it's going to hit me first. There's a few people who would agree with you probably. So oh, yes, right here.
Hello, my name is Dick Udis, and I happen to be in the excavating business, family business from 1923. My advice to you, sir, would be we start April 1st. We did nothing but commercial work with all the biggest contractors in the city of Milwaukee. We also own the soil testing laboratory, and I did a lot of work on the last edition. By the way, that's all fill out there. So you may want to talk to me about that, too. I also put the sewer in out there, but here they are working outside with all these contractors all these years. You don't start building until April 1st. Thank you.
Okay.
I assume that storage area outside of Fellowship Hall is for the quilters. How much bigger is that going to be than what we have, and is it being shared again?
So I'll answer that question. How did I know that was going to come up? I'm not running away. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to answer so they can see my beautiful face on TV. Storage spaces are still, again, this is not architectural plans. There are things, you know, we're exactly how the bells. We have costumes that storage have always been a problem. We have quilting storage, all those kinds of props for the plays. Yeah, we're addressing all of those they're aware of. I guarantee that the architects have heard that. The building committee is, Carrie's shaking her head. They've probably spent a lot of time. Yeah, so, I mean, there will be the space. There will be a lot more storage space. If you look at the plans, there's lots of storage in there. Plus, a lot of the rooms and some of like the youth room and the new educational spot, those will have cabinets and things built into them for some storage. That'll take some of that space. So yes, there will be more storage space, and the quilter is definitely on that list.
Okay. I have a question about the amount of space for adult literacy. Right now, we have one-third of Luther, which is about 2 16-by-12-foot spaces, and it looks like we're down to 18-by-3. Could you address the shrinkage of that, please?
Yes, it's actually...
I'm learning you have to wait a minute for this.
Yeah. Just leave it on.
So right now,
okay,
we have literacy office here. This wall is actually supposed to be a little bit farther so that we gain more space in that yeah. area. And this conference room is strategically located also to be convenient for that space to use for part of its programming. So that office space that's shown right now will actually be bigger. The conference room will be a little bit smaller. Right now, this conference and this conference are about the same size, and we don't need both of those spaces shown at that size. So the literacy office will actually get larger than it's currently shown to get closer to that size that you currently have now, and then you'll have direct access into the conference room, or convenient access, I should say, into the conference room, as well as then into programming spaces in the educational areas as well as needed. Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Thank you, John. Mike Brown, just a couple of things. One, obviously, first, thank you to everybody for just an incredible amount of ministry going into all this work. One, just a quick comment about sprinklers that I'm very confident your group has already discussed, which is there's another advantage to doing them is because it's a safety issue.
Right.
So certainly as we look at that price tag and we talk about what is the state going to say, the answer may be who cares what the state says, we want to put them in because we're going to have to put them in anyway, and that way that part of the building's protected. The youth room, just an observation that I'd appreciate your comments on, and then one other, so I'll give you both of them and can remind you if you need the reminder. On the youth room and the junior high, I'd be interested in the comments because right now the junior high room's length to width ratio is 1:3, and there would be a way to orient that wall going north-south instead of east-west, yep. Where
windows.
The ratio would be 1:2.
Right. It was done this way specifically for windows.
Yep, I understand that, yeah. And I understand that's why it's where it is as well. But just a comment that may be rethought because as I'm looking at that junior high room, that's going to be very difficult to get a lot of flexible use out of with orientation. The other comment, and perhaps one that I think may be more compelling, is while I'm sure nobody's interested in the price tag going up, right now we're going to build, by this plan, an exterior wall for the kitchen when we anticipate that the new kitchen, when we anticipate going out all the way to the north end of the existing fellowship hall. So I'm very curious if the group looked at how much would it cost to rough in so that exterior wall for both running the north-south and the east-west actually went the full length with the existing fellowship hall, even if that was only used for roughed in storage so that we don't have to rebuild it later, essentially not making use of that exterior wall that then would be separating the kitchen and that new space.
I can see the wheels here turning. as for the youth room, you know, the youth room was perhaps one of the more challenging. How do you take Luther and make it? I think we're looking at it. The thing to remember is the junior high youth room is mostly a classroom space. It would be used for the 7th and 8th grade Sunday school and for other things. It was labeled junior youth, where the youth room is really more of a lounge for back. So that's part of, that's part of it, yeah.
So for what it's worth, John,
yeah.
I helped design the School of Pharmacy.
Yeah. So it certainly was a concern, but, you know, we wanted to try to get some windows so they don't feel like they're in a cave, because right now the youth room is very cave-like. Well, but with a cavern running through it, I guess. You want to talk about the other space question?
Sure. I think that's certainly worthy of consideration. If I'm understanding what you were proposing, it's essentially to take this space, build it farther out, build in a section.
I think he's talking the other way. Because you showed the fellowship wrapping. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it eventually would be.
Right.
So
right.
Why spend money on that east-west wall that's on the north end, when eventually that's going to be pushed out another 30 feet anyway?
I see. Yeah, I mean, I think the committee can take a look at all of that. And yes, while that may have a cost implication now, one of the things that churches have to consider, because you're long-term building users, is the value of something relative to the upfront cost for the long term, because you will be here functioning as a congregation in 20, 30, 40 years.
Here, and then we'll go to Bob. Yep.
Yeah, I have a question. Under the original master plan, we had an area that we wanted to set aside for wedding party preparations. Was there any thought on how that's going to be addressed in this current plan?
Yes, I talk to a lot of churches about bride's rooms. Bride's rooms come up all the time. It's not uncommon to see architects that don't work with a lot of churches provide bride's rooms right off of gathering spaces or right off of worship spaces. I've never been a bride, so I can't speak for the brides, but my thinking is this.
I know.
Brides have large parties. and have needs of toilet rooms and privacy. If I was going to set up this plan to service brides, I would not locate them in the area that's going to have the highest traffic before and after a wedding. I would put them in spaces where they have access to lots of toilet rooms. My thinking would be this room, or even this room, convenient to toilet rooms where you can shut off a corridor, keep the public out, and allow the bridal parties to prepare without having to greet people and be involved in, you know, it used to be maybe you had a bride and two or three attendants. I've seen bridal parties that have five or six or seven attendants. They need a lot of space, mothers of the brides, mothers of the groom. And if you want to keep the bride and groom separate, then you might consider, you might consider the grooms using that nursery space or even perhaps the music meeting room or fellowship hall with toilet rooms then that are, you know, we tend to keep the brides less public and the grooms maybe not so concerned about that.
We currently throw the grooms in the youth room because there's a large screen TV, and we can certainly do that with the youth room as well.
My thinking is that the access to privacy and toilets are a bigger concern than proximity to the worship space. You only make that run to the worship space once, right at the time of the wedding, and then afterwards, getting back to the service area, but back and forth between toilet rooms and the need for privacy is really critical.
Hey, just a quick question. How does the new kitchen size compare to the old kitchen size?
The new kitchen size is a little bit larger than the previous, but roughly about the same size. And it's not a size that is uncommon to worship facilities of your size. One of our next steps, so again, one of the big questions is, will the budget get approved with the new kitchen? We have talked to kitchen designers, and I don't know that we've specifically identified the designer that will work on your project yet, but bringing in a designer that knows how to lay out a kitchen and getting the kitchen shape perfected for the convenient and easy use. I like to cook. I've worked and owned kitchens that were big but not able to be used for cooking easily. And I've had kitchens that were sized and laid out so that the smaller space was more convenient for doing what you need to do. First critical step is bringing the kitchen designer on board and having them inform how the shape actually needs to be to really function the way you want it to function for your kitchen programming.
Just for clarification, you say the size of the new kitchen is about the same size as the old kitchen. Are you saying that the new kitchen area plus the serving area is about the same size?
Just the kitchen. So
not the serving.
Your existing kitchen space is about 500 square feet. The new kitchen, just the kitchen, is 600. And that's a pretty typical size for church kitchens.
Teddy.
I'm the handbell choir director, so I have a question about the plan for the music/meeting room, and that I know often when plans are done, there's usually little drawings of what goes in the room, so you make sure you have space. So I'm wondering whether the handbell thought was given to handbells utilizing that room, so that, which was what I was hoping, because a lot of times there is some issues with the music or the worship center being used, so I don't know if that was part of it, because I have serious concerns about space.
And again, those specific layouts, we could have come today with everything exactly laid out where every closet and every storeroom and every shelf is going to be, but we'd have to pay them more money to do that. And so It's kind of that, you know, how far do you go before that? Yeah, it is, and that's certainly the music area, that music room, how it's going to be used, you know, because it also has to be dual purpose. You know, we can't really dedicate a room to be used 2 hours a week for the bells to practice, as nice as it would be. So we have to figure that out. So, you know, it has been discussed, but those are things that as they go for the planning, they'll continue to work with the individual users of those rooms. Right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. You don't want to leave them just sitting back here all the time? Other questions? Okay. Then I feel like I'm playing Let's Make a Deal or something. I just want to say that it is, we said an hour and 15 minutes. It is an hour and 15 minutes. Again, if you have additional questions or comments, those green sheets that are back there, emails, please let us know. Talk to us afterwards. Call us, as I know some people have to leave.
Appreciate the work to the council and the building committee. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
2006, 9 years.
I know.
I was on council back then.
So was I. It's been a long time.
So I wasn't expecting $1 million proposal. But I wasn't expecting a $2.6 million proposal. I thought we would be somewhere in between. With details on the financing as fresh as Thursday night and talking about details but not really seeing numbers, hearing $50,000 a year in mortgage increases, is that before or after a mortgage reduction appeal?
That would be before a mortgage reduction appeal.
I'm just concerned about having to make this decision in 7 days.
Yep.
We've been kicking this around for 9 years, and you know the difference in my mind is, you know, $1 million more than what my expectations were.
Okay.
Just throwing that out on the table.
Got it. Here. Okay. I don't see why not. And then.
So I'm new here. I haven't been in the church that long. I've only been here a year. But to me, this is the way things work. This isn't really our voting for the approval of the plan. It's really our voting in the confidence of the leaders of the church. Because they've been at this. They've been working hard. They've been doing all this work for so long. And they're the ones that have scrutinized the plan. They're the ones that have more experience than us, that have confidence and faith that the $50,000 mortgage is okay. You know, Pastor Paul's got a ton of experience with all of this. Like, they're the ones that really lay down the foundation and know that we can do this. So to me, yeah, $2.6 million seems ridiculous, but all the people that have been working at it for so long feel like this is the right way to go and feel like we can handle this as a congregation moving forward. And to me, it's more of a vote of confidence in the leaders than a vote of confidence in the building fund.
You know, and I appreciate that. I mean, and Roger, I'm going to give it to you. You'll next. But I guess my answer to this, and if there's other council members who would like to address it as well, you know, we were advised by the building committee on, you know, these are the dates that if we're going to do this, we need to, if we don't want to delay it, that we're going to do it. And so we put it in place so that we could make that decision in that timeline. I know it's quick, you know. I was out of town until 11 o'clock last night. I was gone all last week. Not the way I like to prepare before, you know, something that I've been working on personally for 6 years or something. So I understand that the timing is there, and that's a decision, you know. If there's a lot of people that feel that way, you know, we can have that discussion, I guess. But Roger?
I second what the gentleman ahead of me just said. I have a question about roof. To channel a former building committee chairman, we hate flat roofs. If you could comment on that. And also, is there a benefit to looking at solar, or may that already have been done?
There was a time that flat roofs were built completely flat, back in the Frank Lloyd Wright years. We no longer build flat roofs. They always have pitch. We'd like to call them low slope rather than flat. And we have sections of the new construction that will be low slope, and we have some that are higher slope in the design right now. By interchanging both types of roof in that, we're able to get some natural light into the heart of the building addition through some clerestory windows over that low slope. There are other ways to do that, but I think they're often a little less successful. The design of the low slope roof is critical for how it functions. I have a Milwaukee bungalow in Milwaukee. I have ice dams on my southern exposure for a good chunk of the winter. There are problems with every type of roofing design. And the real question is, how do you anticipate dealing with those, and is the roof maintained? One of the advantages of a low slope roof is it actually drains water differently, and in my opinion, sometimes more effectively, but you have to have the right membrane and it has to be maintained correctly. You had a second part of that. Solar. There are things that we can potentially consider for sustainability in the building. Right now, the payback on solar is not where most congregations would like it to be in order to undertake solar for electricity. It is possible to do solar with good return for helping with hot water and the heating of water. Gas prices right now are probably not helping that any. But I have had congregations that said, we want to do as much as possible for sustainable design and foresee solar panels becoming a part of our project at some point in the future. And that's certainly possible to do, even if it's not cost effective right now.
Okay, we have a question. Someone had asked earlier if we could tell exactly how much of the $1 million pledge or 900 and whatever it is, $1,000 pledge, we've taken in so far. It's $345,139. Some of that has gone out, and that's thank you, Lisa, for being able to pull that number so quickly. Yes, Ralph.
All right, Ralph Gillette. I'd like to try to maybe bridge the last two questions that we had, not Rogers, but Dan's and the new member. Was it Dan also? Pat. Okay, Dan and Pat. Well, I agree with Pat's comment that, you know, it is a vote and reliance on the people that have been working on it and so on. There is also a historical perspective here that I think Dan is alluding to, and I know that other members of the congregation have talked or asked me or shared their thoughts. And again, people have some more conservative nature with financing than others. But historically, it's hard to wrap my head around going to a $2.6 million project that entails ballpark $50,000 in additional mortgage costs when I know how we've struggled to make our budgets the most recent years. And I know from working with serving on the finance committee with Romy and others, there's quite a divergence in terms of comfort level on the council as you're working through that. I'm just wondering if you could share how the council got comfortable with it, because I think there are people in the congregation that still aren't comfortable with taking on that big of a chunk. Of an increase.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. There are council members that are concerned about it. Have I lost a fair amount of sleep over this in the last couple of weeks? Have I wondered why in the world did I say that I would do this? It is. It's frightening. But I think the feeling of the majority of the council, at least, and it was a unanimous vote to bring it here to the congregation in this way, was that all of the advisors that we've talked to, from Mission Investment Fund to RSI, Paul just spent some time at the stewardship of the ELCA, and talking to other churches who have done this locally, was that this is not unusual. What's really unusual for our church is that we have an $83,000 mortgage existing. That's what makes us different currently. It's one of the things that's really odd, right? And so, you know, as we looked at that and we projected, and I had to project for the application, I had to project 6 years into the future of what our expenses and our income were going to be. I brought out my big crystal ball. It was lots of fun. But I think, you know, the council felt that it was there. We've gotten to this point. The congregation has pledged $1 million to this point. The money is coming in as expected to this point. That, you know, if we don't do this, you know, what the building committee, several of them have told me is, we either do this the way it is or it's not worth doing. So, I mean, that's some of the recommendation and where we've come from that. That answer your question? I mean, some of it's a faith, you know, lots of praying about this. As a business person who invests money and opens businesses, you know, you look at the facts, and even then sometimes faith comes into it. In this, there's some faith. Chris, read it first, and then.
Thank you. My name is Chris Beloyne, and I was on the original strategic planning SWAMP team back in 2006. So again, it's nice to see the evolution of the plan and finally get to the point where we can kind of move ahead. Part of what I look at, and we talked even back then about the multi-generational effects of doing a major building project. And I myself have an MBA, and I'm looking at, you know, return on investment and enhancements to the quality of life. And as I see things, even though it's always a stretch, I feel very confident about how things are going, and certainly would be in favor as we move ahead with things. I did have a question about the energy efficiency. You know, some buildings have that LEED certification, and obviously we're working with partial renovated space. We're never going to get to 100%. But how close are we to being like a LEED certified building in terms of a percentage? Are we 80% there, or do we have a ways to go in that regards?
I am a LEED AP, and we have not done kind of a point calculation to find out how close you would be to that. One of the challenges with LEED for churches is it's hard. I mean, it's an expensive cost to get the certification with little benefit. Mm-hmm.
It looks nice to say you're LEED certified, but you could be all the energy efficiency and not be LEED certified.
So you can incorporate that without
you just pay
the certification.
For that.
What most businesses do the certification for is to get tax credits, grants, other things that they're able to get that churches very rarely are able to take advantage of. So it's pretty uncommon for a church to do the LEED certification, but we could certainly incorporate things into the design. The question that most churches have is, what does that cost versus, because there is a cost from the design side of it as well, versus what we benefit from. All of the building envelope will be designed to current energy standards for the state of Wisconsin, which are certainly better than what you have in existing buildings now. And as we upgrade building systems, those will also be done in a way that's compliant with the current understanding, and we'll take advantage of whatever we can in free or passive sorts of improvements for sustainability.
Linda?
I know we're trying to wrap up. Linda Borkenhagen. I'm really thrilled with what I'm seeing. I'm a huge supporter of the program and so on. I'm still bothered by needing to make a decision next week. I feel it's really rush for a $2.6 million project. Things like, do the bells tables fit in that allocated space? What does it look like to reconfigure the wall for junior and high school youth? What does material acquisition look like for the adult literacy? Some things like that. What is security like at night? I get that the office staff can buzz somebody in. I think I have a bigger concern about how do we know that the building is empty at night with all of the activity that goes on. And so I'm sure there's an answer for that. I just feel like rushing into this for a decision for next week when I think there's going to be a lot of questions out there from people who can't be here, and myself included. It's worth waiting, even if it's a month, to be able to ask and have questions answered, and that's what I would prefer to do.
So just as a point of notification, not commenting on your comment, but, you know, to do it, we would have to push it back at least 2 weeks because of this little thing called Easter, but also because our Constitution requires us to give 2 weeks' notice for any kind of voting meeting. So that from a timing standpoint. And the other question that's been asked is, if you're not going to be here next year and you feel strongly one way or the other, can you next week, not next year, sorry. So glad you're all listening. I was just testing. Can you put in a proxy vote? The answer is no. Our Constitution does not allow that. If we want to do that, that's a two-year process to change that. So so that's the answer. Yes?
Jim Mulhall, property chair, new property chair, and also in taking that role on, I wanted to be a liaison between the building committee and the council. What we have here is a good amount of work, is a good amount of work that's been going on for a long time. 2006, it's 9 years. This meeting here is for you to decide whether those 9 years worth of thought, dream, faith, prayer are going to come to fruition. Do you want this? If you want it, vote yes. Do you know if you're going to be able to pay for it? Where are we? Pastor Paul will tell you to have faith. I'm going to tell you the same thing. This plan is a good plan. It was designed for two phases, the initial phase here, and then the second phase, which would be worship and fellowship. Get your kitchen now. Well, first of all, decide whether you want to do this now. If you want to do this now, get it done. I don't know how much time you really need. Okay. There's 9 years. So,
all right.
You know, it's either yes or no. Thank you.
Other comments, questions? I'm down here. Sorry, I saw him first.
Hi, thank you. I just noticed that it looks like we have two entrances to the church now, one of which has a canopy over it, the other one does not. And it seems like the coat area is all the way across on the other side from the entrance with the canopy. Then you have to come all the way back to go to church. Has anybody looked at, like, the flow of people coming in and out and where people are going to go? Is that hospitality space going to be used? The fireplace looks like it's kind of off in the corner. I've seen churches with hospitality spaces, and there's not a lot of people in them. Sometimes, you know, people just gather somewhere else. Have you, you know, looked at that and determined how that's going to happen?
So we have looked at traffic patterns through this space. One of the challenges, again, this is based on my 20 years of experience, which is based on, I learned a lot from people that came before me with respect to church design. Church growth experts, when I used to come and work with ELCA congregations, Pat Dever from the Mission Investment Fund was always one of the first people in the door. Top of her list of things that the church believes result in church growth is an adequate size place for gathering. Number one on her list. If you don't have that, it significantly hampers your growth as a congregation and the outreach of your ministries. The 1/3 to 1/2 is critical. I go one step farther and say it doesn't just matter how big the space is. It's kind of like the kitchen. You have to have enough space, but how it's laid out matters. Most churches design their gatherings, most architects that don't have a lot of familiarity with church design just work on square footage. Sometimes they design wide corridors. You have to have space in the church that people can actually get out of the path of travel, right? We typically take the shortest distance through a space. That's part of the reason we pulled the fireplace down in this corner, so people along the bright areas of the building could actually congregate during hospitality times, stop, have a cup of coffee, talk to the people that are either new or members of the congregation, and build community in that space. That's part of the reason we pulled all that off of the circulation path of travel. in regard to the need for this space, when I go back and talk to people that didn't have a gathering space and were concerned about the size of the space when it was in design, and you talk to them afterwards, they can't imagine how they ever got by as a congregation without that space. Pretty much unanimously. The big difference is, if the church is a dying congregation, no amount of gathering is going to turn that around without a significant change in the outlook and the outreach of the congregation. You are not. So, you provide that space, you will thrive in it.
Yeah. The other thing to look at, if you look at some of the elevations, you can see the different colored carpeting, which is done very specifically to help draw people in paths to places that they may need to go, like to the coats or past it, versus areas that are more, you see it in a lot of hotels. So, yeah, and coats have been, Karen has made sure that the committee has been thinking about coats. She's the coats and hallways and low chairs.
And as any parent who has ever tried to drop off their child for Sunday school in the middle of coffee hour in between services can tell you that is quite the challenge. I don't think us worrying about, you know, filling that hospitality space is an issue. I think it's a great blessing that we have. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Darlene Holly. I'm your president-elect. Sorry with that. So it is a great blessing that we do have so many fabulous people here at Grace and that we do have that desire to congregate and have fellowship, moving it out of our main entranceway so we can get our kids off to Sunday school is what a wonderful thing. You know, some of the concerns that we heard, I haven't been involved in this 9-year process. You know, I started in January. So I'm seeing some of these figures just a little bit ahead of where you guys are seeing them as well for the first time. And I remember, yeah, the estimates, they were 1.5 to 2 million. I know we like to think, oh, I like the 1.5, that sounds great. But 2.6 isn't that far off from where we started with those estimates. If you look at what we brought into this plan, right, a lot of that deferred maintenance that we talk about getting rid of those residential heating units, yes, we said that, residential heating units that are in this church that failed again once this morning to heat our church for services, and bringing in commercial-grade equipment to service this building, to fix our leaky roofs, right? That was all brought into that number. We're also talking about, you know, moving things up from phase two because they made sense. So that's adding onto that number. And again, we started with 9 years of research into those. That 2.0, you know, that 2 million number, that's very, very out of date at this point. You know, there's inflation. Costs have gone up. So the fact that we've managed to bring in so much, including bringing this building up to code, to bringing in fire systems that will help us, you know, keep us safe, keep our children safe, right? We came to Grace originally looking for that home church to start our family. Jeff and I didn't have any kids when we started. We were looking to have a home for our future children. What this plan does is it looks to the future of Grace. It's not just talking about the members that are here today, about the children that are here today in Sunday schools. We're talking about serving our community into the future, to bringing in more families and welcoming more Christians into our home for the future of Grace, not just today, right? So that's what these plans will do.
Are there other comments? Specific questions. Okay, so, Bob Dries.
Maybe just a clarification, John. Mm-hmm. At the meeting next week, will there be more financial information presented?
Yes, that is my sincere goal. As soon as I can get them, they'll be out. I don't know how we're going to distribute them, whether we'll send emails out, whether we'll post it. I get a little nervous about posting financial stuff, but that may be the best. We will. Church Council's meeting Thursday night. I guarantee you we'll be discussing this. I hope to have more numbers on this to do this. Again, the numbers are being run. As soon as I can get those numbers run, I will share them. I fully intend, my goal is, I'm not going to stand here and promise, because Lord knows what can happen between now and then, but the goal is to have that. The goal was to have that information prior to today. Mission Investment took an extra week because they were backed up. And so we didn't have an approval and an amount until literally Thursday night. So we had Friday, and I was traveling, unfortunately. The other person, Romy, was traveling. It got a little complicated. We were texting each other on airplanes trying to come up with a plan, literally. So, yes, that's the goal. Okay? All right, I don't see anybody else, but I appreciate everybody for your comments, your thoughts. Before, we're going to end with the prayer in a moment, but I would remember, please, notes, hand, if you want to handwrite a note and bring it in, give it to the office, or myself, or Heidi, or Paul, and we'll get it to council. We'll have those by Wednesday. We'll have answers. Email, please feel free, and we'll consider this. And if you know we hear a lot one way or the other, you know, our goal at this point, our plan is to still have a vote next week. You know, if we get a ton of other people who don't feel that way, we'll certainly take that under advisement. I don't know where that would end up because we obviously haven't discussed about it. So, Krista, I'm sorry, I didn't see you standing back.
I was going to say that for insulating the door, that's going to be a very big help during the play because then we will be able to talk without everyone else hearing us because that's been a big problem.
Absolutely. All right. Paul, do you want to close in a word of prayer?
And just once again, thanks to everyone who has put literally years and years and years into this. It's an exciting time, scary time for us as a congregation, but I pray the Lord will lead us. And again, trust your leadership. They've done an excellent job. I'll reiterate what John said. If you have any questions, please talk to us. Okay, we can't guarantee we'll have all the answers for all the questions before, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday for you, but we will do everything we can to have every question answered to the best of our ability next week. We want this to be done in a forthright, open, honest, and Christ-filled fashion. So please understand that's where your leadership has been coming from all this time, and I think they've done an excellent job. So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you lead us. You lead us in paths we know. You lead us sometimes in paths we're not quite so sure of. Sometimes that path is very scary, but you always lead us. And I thank you for this congregation of servants of Jesus Christ. I thank you for where you've led us these 50 years. And I pray you will continue to lead us, to guide us, to make us wise, to make us brave, so that 50 years from now, people will look back and say, thank you, everyone, in 2015. Thank you for what you've done to make this church the church it is today. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, everybody.